Into the Blender, episode 17.
Stop messing with me. You're not missing a thing. You keep going and I'm just showing that I never stop to think.
You're listening to Into the Blender with your hosts, Chooch and Viv.
You can hear us each week discussing topics ranging from co-parenting a blended family to gaming to technology news.
And whatever else catches our fancy this week.
It really doesn't matter at all. Love is such a reason to fall.
Hey everybody, this is Viv.
And this is Chooch.
And you're listening to End of the Blender.
Yay, new cast. Oh wait, wrong podcast.
So how are you feeling, Chooch?
I'm feeling a lot better. I'm breathing.
Well, that's good.
And I'm still coughing, but it's a little bit in the mornings and then not too much during the day. It's almost gone.
Right. Same here. I've just, every once in a while I have a little something special to cough up and then I'm back to normal. Actually started back to exercising this week. I think I exercised 4 days, which was 4 times what I had exercised the previous week.
Yeah, I haven't exercised at all in like 3 weeks at least.
Other than one of the things that we did, talk about later, was the Race for Cure, but yeah.
Yeah, that was some exercise.
Yeah. Also, the last time we recorded, we actually recorded that like 3 weeks ago, mm-hmm. but we're just releasing that later. But the last time we recorded, we talked about RavenCon. Mm-hmm. And prom and the concert. And
yeah,
we joked. Remember how we joked? Because they had just had the prom mm-hmm. and they had just broken up that day.
Oh, right.
And we made a joke about, oh, they'll probably get back together.
Yeah.
Yeah. So guys, they got back together as predicted.
Again.
Yeah. Almost exactly a week after they broke up. So mm-hmm. they're back together again now.
And yeah. as I predicted is after they broke up, the friend he made mm-hmm. that happened to be female, mm-hmm. who's just a friend, Mom.
Yeah.
She's just a friend.
Yeah. Nice girl.
Suddenly isn't coming over. And yeah.
Yeah.
Funny how that happens.
Yeah. It's a whole thing. He's negotiating his way around the pitfalls of love for the first time. And mm-hmm. he's stumbling a bit, but that's okay. He's got a good heart. He'll figure it out. And we also were heading into a kid-free weekend.
Yeah.
And we were very confused and perplexed about what to do with our time without hurting children. And, I mean, not hurting, like, you know, little kids, but, you know, getting an 11-year-old and a 16-year-old off their butts and moving. We actually ended up Friday night gaming with our friends on Lord of the Rings Online and had a really good time.
Yeah.
And then Saturday, I think we ended up going to the movies that day, didn't we?
Yes.
Or was it Sunday we went to the movies? See, I can't even remember, guys. It was a couple weeks ago. We did see 21, yeah. finally, with Kevin Spacey, which I had been dying to see.
Yes.
And we saw Baby Mama.
Yep.
Which, okay.
Both totally different movies yeah. and both really good at what they did.
Yeah. And I talked to my sister-in-law about Baby Mama, and she said she didn't like it. And I said, well, I thought it was funny for what it was. I mean, it wasn't a great comedy or mm-hmm. Shakespeare or anything like that, but I thought it was, you know, like you said, for what it was good. It was mm-hmm. funny. You expected to laugh. You expected some, you know, toilet humor because of the one scene of the woman peeing in the sink and stuff like that. But she was right that there wasn't that much other than what you saw in the commercial that was really funny.
Hmm.
But there were a couple of lines that they couldn't show in a commercial that had me cracking up. I was just giggling yeah. on some of them.
Yeah, I laughed through most of it. I thought there was a lot more than the commercials, but
yeah. So they were good movies, and that was a lot of fun. And we didn't have to rush back because of kids or, you know. And we mm-hmm. were actually really torn because that was also, wasn't that the weekend that Iron Man came out?
Yes.
And it was like a big, oh, we could see Iron Man. We could see Iron Man, but no, let's wait because, and this was the thing, is it was a big deal, Iron Man was, because it's the first movie that I can't remember how long it's been since all four of us really wanted to see the yeah. same movie. So I said that if they weren't going to see it when they were with their grandparents, mm-hmm. then we'd see it Mother's Day. Yeah. That would be a real big treat for me because I love going to the movies and we can never agree on a movie.
Right.
So we did not see it. It was painful because everybody was talking about it in Twitter.
Yeah. So we went and saw 21.
Mm-hmm.
And then we ended up as a surprise, kind of somewhat spur of the moment, a bunch of people were meeting at DFH.
Right.
That's right.
Yeah.
Up in Maryland. So we went up and met a whole bunch of other podcasters and local Twitter peeps and had a great dinner and great conversation. And then we were driving home and said, there's no kids. We don't really have to be home. Let's see what's playing. What's showing right now? And Baby Mama happened to be showing in like 15 minutes.
Right. And I think that actually we had been shooting for getting home to record, Hey, Want to Watch a Movie with Christiane mm-hmm. Ellis.
That's right.
But it was 10 o'clock already, and mm-hmm. we were nowhere near home.
Yeah.
So we stopped by the nearest mall, mm-hmm. Googleplex movie theater, and watched Baby Mama there, because we knew we weren't going to get home in time for Christiana, which we were sad about, because that would have been fun.
Yeah.
But yeah, so we saw that. That was a total whim movie, you're right. Yeah. And then we spent Sunday gaming with friends and stuff. And we did some recording that day, too, but blah, blah, blah. It was fun. And it was really cool hanging out at DFH. I finally got to see what all the fuss was about. Dogfish Head Brewery.
Yep.
And got to meet, well, we had already met Command Line,
mm-hmm.
but got to meet his awesome wife.
Yeah.
And
Tammy Cat.
Yeah. And Heather and her husband, Mark Bailey, Grail Wolf from mm-hmm. Grail Wolf's Geek Life. And Paul Fisher and his lovely wife, Martha.
Mm-hmm.
And Greg. I didn't catch his voice. And then we had like a regular week, like our standard chaos, craziness. Getting better from being sick and also trying to get better because we had the Race for the Cure.
Yeah.
On May 10th, which was the mm-hmm. day before Mother's Day. So we were stressing because we weren't really able to physically do that much. And I was trying to walk here and there, but I was getting winded just doing 2 miles and my ankle was bothering me and stuff. So I was really worried. So we figured we're just going to walk it slow.
Yeah. When you register for the race, you get a little page on their website and can put a goal, and there's the nifty little thermometer tracker.
And they've got it set up so you can send out fundraiser emails and stuff like mm-hmm. that. So I had set it for 500 combined goal for us.
Yeah.
We actually raised $450 through generous donations from our families.
Mm-hmm.
I was really happy with that. I wanted to get another 50 to hit the $500 goal that we had set. So I mentioned on Twitter, if you're interested, send me a DM and I'll send you the link. I wasn't spamming it.
Yeah, over like, I don't even know, think it was once a day, because it was over like the course of a month. And I had only ever really seen you do it
like
two or three times.
Yeah, I think it was the third time that I did it that mm-hmm. T. Morris, the author, podcast extraordinaire, had seen the tweet and said, you know, can you send me the link? So mm-hmm. I sent him the link and he donated. And I was mm-hmm. like, oh, thank you. Because he got us to 500.
Yeah.
He donated $50. I was like, woo, you know. So he got us to 500 and I was so ecstatic.
Yeah.
To have had that done. And that was like Tuesday night before the race.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, I'm not done yet. And I was like, I felt a chill. Go, what does that mean? And then I thought, oh, you know, he's donated. What else, you know? Well, our friend T. Morris went on a little campaign of sorts. And he actually recorded Give Us a Minute episode with a call that someone had made regarding her battle with cancer.
Mm-hmm.
And then put information about our fundraising.
Yeah.
And specifically put the link to the fundraising page.
Yeah. Let's probably back up real quick. Give Us a Minute is a podcast that T and a couple other people do that is dedicated to Joe Murphy, who is a podcaster who died last year from cancer.
Last April.
And his was very sudden and kind of took everybody by surprise.
Yeah.
And he was, you know, really, really loved in the community and what he had brought to Slice of Sci-Fi and Winging It and all the different Farpoint media podcasts. And so they had set up the Joe Murphy Memorial Fund and took donations for that to help research that type of cancer.
Right, because it was very rare, wasn't it?
Mm-hmm. Leiomyosarcoma. And just started doing the podcast. And they initially, in the first year, had done it. I don't remember the frequency. It wasn't that frequent, but just kind of, you know, in memory of Joe. And T had revamped it in April 1st, which was the one-year anniversary of Joe's passing,
right,
and has been doing new episodes. And so he highlighted what we were doing in the one episode. And then started the Twitter campaign.
Yeah. He was basically just repeatedly tweeting, trying to raise money, help one of our own tribe meet this goal, and send it out to all of his followers. He's got over 700 and something followers. Everybody was picking it up and retweeting it. And these were people that were donating. And if they couldn't donate, then they were retweeting it and spreading the word. And that just means reposting it and sending it from their own so it goes out to a broader audience. So we figure, based on what we generally just saw, several thousand people saw it. Not several, like 10. We don't know that much. But we know that a couple people that had really big audiences sent out the tweet. And we actually raised, from Tuesday, we were at 450. And on Saturday, after we got the last donation, we were at $1,085. So $635 in less than a week. T's amazing.
More than doubling the goal.
I know. I was just so excited at 500, and it was just crazy.
Yeah.
The way that it really touched me, because with mom having died of breast cancer and having done the Race for the Cure with my mom, it was very emotional for me. You know how emotional it was for me. So emotional that I didn't want to do the one in D.C., Washington, D.C., because that was where I had done the previous races with my mom.
Right.
So we picked Richmond to do it in, because that was, you know, new territory. And it was just easier that way for me to kind of get ready for it. It was the first, what I call my first pink ribbon event since mom actually got re-diagnosed with it. So it was a tentative step for me into it. And to have all of these people, all of these friends of ours in Twitter that were donating money, and some of them, I know how tight their money is right now. I personally know how tight their finances are. And so for them to throw $5 and $10, $50 in, we had one person donate $100. And it's like, wow. You know, I know how tight money is for people, and I appreciated it so much on a single person level, let alone like the group. And our friend Paulette Jackson came. She's in our weight loss support group. And when she heard that I had hurt my ankle and that we weren't going to be able to run, she wanted to show her support. So she came down from Maryland all the way down and stayed with us Friday night. We got up early Saturday and went to the race.
She actually spent the money to register for being, you know, entering into it, and went and did the race with us.
And left Maryland at like 3 o'clock on Friday and spent hours in traffic. And we ended up just having the best time. We went out to dinner and stayed up talking until far too late, considering how early we had to get up the next morning. But we just had the best time. We couldn't stop chatting because we were just like, I don't know. It was really, really cool. I felt like a really cool bond with her. And she was there with us. So I had Chooch there. I had Paulette there. She understood how, like, freaky emotional that I was going to be from time to time. But I have to say that when I stepped past the start line and we, like, started the race, and then again when we crossed the finish line, I felt this total elation of not just, Mom, look what I did. I'm back. You know, I'm here doing the race again, raising funds, raising awareness. But look, Mom, look how much money. Look how much money I brought to the table this time, Mom. Yeah. It's so cool. So I was really proud of that. And I was proud to have such a cool community behind us. You know what I mean? Cheering us on.
Oh, yeah.
And while we were doing
virtually
the race.
And then physically, because
Paulette was right there. Well, and you were sending tweets and pictures and stuff like that. And we had people cheering us on from New Zealand and the West Coast and our coast and everywhere. It was amazing.
Scott and May Breakall came out physically and
they
cheered
didn't
us on.
They didn't do the race with us.
From the sides.
But they met us probably four or five blocks away from the finish line. And they walked it with us. And it was so sweet of them, you know, because we were going to all meet for lunch afterwards. But they came to cheer us on. And they walked with us the end of it. And as we crossed the finish line, they cheered us on, and it was so cool and so sweet of them to take the time out to do that. And I was just really touched by that.
Yeah.
And it was also really funny because it was that last little bit of cheering that we needed because we were almost at the end. And you got the text that, okay, we're here. We're at, you know, whatever, fifth and whatever. And I looked at the signs and I was like, oh, that's about a block and a half away. So I looked and sure enough, I could see May's bright pink hair. She had bleached out and colored her hair this bright pink.
Magenta hair.
Yeah, magenta, right. And it was so cute because people kept complimenting her hair, thinking that she had done it, you know, like a temporary color for the race. That's her real hair color, like permanently. But it was so cute. I was like, I bet we can see her from here. And then I did. Yeah. It was really sweet. And then, so we hung out there because they always have lots of information and stuff like that, vendors on breast cancer awareness and different things. We checked out all that information. And then we met another Twitter friend and we went out to lunch.
Yeah.
Corey from Richmond met us and we went to this really amazing Thai restaurant.
Yeah.
And ate like hungry piggies after all of our exertion. It was really good. I haven't had Thai food in over like 10 years. It was amazing.
Quite a while for me.
Yeah, it was good. Then we went to a gaming store and got a couple of games to play with the kids. It was just a really great day. Yeah.
Which May had said that was the gaming store that T. Morris got his start in role-playing games.
I thought that was cute. The irony of it. He was there with us. My favorite part of that day would probably have to be crossing the finish line. Because at one point my ankle really started hurting. And I was, and you and Paulette immediately, are you okay? Are you okay? I'm fine. I'm going. I ain't stopping. But it eventually worked itself out. And I was worried that it would happen again and I wouldn't be able to finish it because it was hilly. It was up and down. It wasn't a flat track like we had gotten used to and then gotten out of shape from the illness. So I was really worried that I wouldn't be able to finish it and that I'd let myself down and I'd let down everybody that had donated and tweeted and that were being so supportive. Mm-hmm. So I was really glad to cross the finish line. I felt absolutely elated. And it was really, really good for my heart to be able to go out afterwards for lunch with everybody. Mm-hmm. That was a really good time. I was glad Corey was able to make it. I'm so grateful to May and Scott for coming. And of course, Paulette. And she's just amazing. Because she ended up, it was most of her weekend gone because she didn't get home probably till late. I think it was late Saturday night that she got home.
Yeah.
So I really appreciate that. And it was just so cool getting to spend more time with her because we didn't really get that much time with her at RavenCon, I felt. We got some time, but she didn't go to lunch with us, and dinner was so chaotic that I'm really glad we got all that time with her. It was cool.
I know that Susan G. Komen Foundation is, you know, obviously the biggest breast cancer awareness foundation. And so, and whenever I think of Race for the Cure, I do think of D.C. I don't think about it being, you know, because they have events all over the country.
They do.
All
the major cities.
And for some reason, you know, I'd never really thought of Richmond. So I wasn't prepared when we got there for how many people there were and how big of an event it was. Yeah. And so you see this kind of carnival atmosphere, just these tents everywhere and food pavilions and just these thousands and thousands of people. So that was one kind of shock I got over, like, wow, this is a big event. And then when we got our ankle chips to track your time, and we got out to the starting line, and then looking down this street that was a very large street, going over a bridge, and it was just solid people.
Yeah, pink and white.
Just, wow. It just really blew me away.
The numbers that I found were right around 10,000. And the last time that I did the Race for the Cure in D.C., it was over 30,000.
Wow.
But it really is a logistical nightmare, in my opinion, to do D.C., and I plan on doing Richmond again. I don't know emotionally if I can do D.C. again, but I know logistically I prefer Richmond. It's easier to get to. It's not as crazy as getting to downtown D.C., because you're either going in by metro, which it's packed, or you're going in by car, which it's packed and there's nowhere to park.
Right.
Very emotional day, but it was a really good day. I slept like a baby that night. But we picked up the boys on the way home. They had spent the night before at their grandparents for another birthday and got to wake up the next morning, Mother's Day, and chill out with you guys. And we went and saw Iron Man. Oh, that was so good. That was a busy weekend.
Yeah.
But Iron Man was so amazing. And it was cute because M was sitting right next to me. And when the lights went dark and they finished playing the trailers, his legs started going. Did you see that? And I was like, are you okay? And he said, I'm so excited. He's always been my favorite. And I was like, I always thought Spider-Man was your favorite. But then I remembered Spider-Man's his dad's favorite.
Uh-huh.
I had always assumed that Spider-Man was his favorite, but he said Iron Man's story was always his favorite story of the superheroes. So who knew? He's been waiting all these years for an Iron Bad Mom. And it was finally out, and he was so excited. It was so hilarious.
Yeah.
That was one of the funniest movies I've seen in a long time.
Yeah.
It was funnier than Baby Mama, and Baby Mama was a comedy. What does that say?
Yeah, amazingly done. Every aspect. I thought that was my favorite superhero movie I've seen.
We had that conversation that we both felt that way.
And a lot of people on our gaming boards thought that it was the best that they had seen, too. And then I just listened to Growlf's Geek Life. They did a geek out. Mark and Heather and T. Morris went and saw it together and then went to T's house and recorded about it for over an hour. Just their impressions of it and everything. And I think Heather had said that it was her favorite Marvel movie. And T didn't agree at all. For T, it's Spider-Man 2 is his absolute favorite.
That's the one with Doc Ock, right?
Mm-hmm. And he felt that it was amazing, first of all, for being a sequel. And overcoming being a sequel.
Right.
And he felt it was better than the first one.
Yeah.
And for him, he thought that it just had everything gelled together and it was his favorite Marvel movie.
Cool.
Iron Man was still, I think, my favorite.
Super. Yeah.
And he had specifically said Marvel movie because he felt that DC, I believe he had said Superman, the original Superman, for best superhero movie overall. And that's really hard for me to judge. Yeah. Growing up, being a kid and watching Superman, I absolutely loved that movie.
Yeah.
And so it has a lot of nostalgia for me.
Not just nostalgia, but like sadness tinged. And I feel because of what Christopher Reeves went through, that it's almost disrespectful to not think of that the way that I do. Because I do love that movie.
Yeah.
I don't think it's better than Iron Man. But I really have a hard time saying that, you know, Superman's not my favorite because it was so good. And it was pretty groundbreaking at the time. I mean, you look at it now and there's a lot of cheese factor to it. But back when it was released, it was amazing.
Yeah, Gene Hackman was amazing. He was the perfect Lex Luthor.
Right.
Christopher Reeves was the perfect Superman.
I mean, you could not have...
Nicole Kidman was the perfect Lois Lane.
Nicole Kidman. Nicole Kidman. Margot Kidder.
The kid thing.
Nobody has ever confused those two people ever before. That's hilarious, honey.
Margot Kidder was the best.
It's just staying in. You may as well not even fix that. That's staying in. It's cute.
And it was just a great plot and a great movie.
Yeah. It's exactly what you expected Superman to be.
The new Superman, the Superman relaunch, I thought was really good, too.
Mm.
It pissed me off that Parker Posey was the floozy and the other chick was Lois because they should have been flip-flop.
Yeah.
Parker Posey would have been an amazing Lois Lane.
Yeah, she really would have. She's an awesome actress. Not that the girl that played Lois Lane is a bad actress, but
she did well, but she was young for it.
And we have a special place in our hearts for Parker Posey, too, so she's just, like, so cool.
But for me, Iron Man had it all.
Well, and Kevin Spacey. What did you think of Kevin Spacey as Lex Luthor?
I thought he was a good Lex.
I thought they limited him too much.
Yeah.
He could have really roamed free evil. You know what I mean?
He was good. He didn't have as much of the comedy.
Yeah.
He had the touch of crazy, which was good.
Yeah.
But yeah, he definitely seemed kind of reined in.
Yeah. I would have like 50 of his babies. I think he's so awesome. I'm sorry. I love Kevin Spacey. I'll just see anything he's in at least 2 or 3 times, even if it's bad. Yes, I saw K-Pax twice. Judge me all you want. I love him.
But Iron Man had it all. It was hilarious. It was beautiful. It was the characters. The actors were perfect.
Yeah. And, you know, I didn't want to see it when they announced it.
Yeah.
I was like, Iron Man, I never really cared that much about his story. then I saw that, and then I heard the casting, Robert Downey Jr., and I was like, Robert Downey Jr. is a superhero? Because I didn't really remember the Iron Man story.
Yeah.
So I was like, Robert, I mean, how old is that man? And he does look, he's like Keith Richards. He looks older than he is because of the way he's abused his body. So when I saw the commercial for it, it was like, I'm sorry, the trailer. When I saw the trailer for it, then I was like, yeah, that looks good. I want to see it.
Yeah.
But then to get in there and to see the story of Iron Man, it was like even better to me that Robert Downey Jr. was cast in that because of what he went through in his life, I think made his portrayal richer. And I actually even like Gwyneth Paltrow in that movie. I don't usually like her. I don't usually like her in movies. I don't know
why. It was refreshing to have a romantic lead that she wasn't either of the two stereotypes you usually get. You either get the damsel in distress, slip of a thing that can't do anything and bumbles and causes nothing but problem.
Right.
Or you get super kick-ass hero girl.
Right.
And she wasn't either. She didn't take crap. She not only didn't get into trouble, but got herself out of trouble with her head. And she wasn't fawning over him.
That was what I really enjoyed.
Even after seeing the trailer, I was a little nervous because directed by Jon Favreau.
Yeah, but
who is a good director.
Yes.
Excellent dialogue. I mean, Swingers was an amazing movie. But he had never done a big blockbuster type movie. He did Zathura, which didn't actually see. Yeah, let's get into that.
Oh.
It's okay.
Go That's ahead. Cool.
I loved Elf.
Yeah.
It was hilarious.
Yeah.
It wasn't a big blockbuster Hollywood movie.
Mm-mm.
And a lot of people panned it and didn't really care for it. It's probably our now favorite family classic holiday movie.
Well, it definitely gets played more than A Christmas Story. I think now I play Christmas Story. I watch that once.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe twice if it's on. But we watched Elf throughout the year. It's not even just a Christmas movie. True. We watch it, you know, a couple times a year. Yeah. It's like, oh, let's watch Elf.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that was a surprise hit for us.
And I never did see Zathura, but it was a big special effects movie because it was Jumanji in space. It was the sequel to Jumanji, so it had the same themes. But it got really bad reviews and people didn't seem to really care for it.
Yeah.
So I was nervous that, you know, he hadn't done that kind of thing and he just absolutely nailed it.
He totally did. It was amazing.
The pacing, everything was just amazing. Great movie, standalone on its own, forget about comic books and superheroes.
I agree. So it was a great Mother's Day because we went out to lunch, we saw the movie, we came home. Oh, we weren't that hungry, remember? We didn't know what we were going to do for dinner because I didn't want to cook and didn't want to go back out to a restaurant. None of us were really that hungry because we had such a big lunch and then saw the movie and it was like, oh, it's dinner time, what should we eat? And then it was like, well, let's go get some ice cream.
Right.
And then if we get hungry later, we can eat. So we literally had ice cream for dinner. It's like, the only way that Mother's Day could have been better is if I'd had cheesecake for breakfast. You know what I mean? It was awesome. Yeah. Mother's Day rocked. Want to play a promo, baby?
I do. Me like the promos.
Play it, baby.
All right, we'll play this real fast and be right back.
Hi there. I'm Christiana Ellis, and I have this new daily podcast called Christiana's Shallow Thoughts. I was thinking the other day that I'd kind of like if more people were listening. So I hacked into the communications tower of the local airport. I mean, who better than airline passengers for a captive audience, right? Unfortunately, in hindsight, the plan had a few flaws and I made a few people angry. Long story short, I no longer fear death. Anyway, I still wanted people to listen, so I decided to make this promo. New Thoughts Daily at shallowthoughts.libsyn.com.
back.
It's us again, guys. How you doing?
Funny how that happens.
Yeah, right. I think one of the things that we're trying to figure out right now, besides BaltCon, which is next week and then we're very excited about, but the other thing that we're working on is summer.
Mm-hmm.
Summer's complicated, man.
It's very complicated in the blended situation.
Yeah, Christmas was complex, but this is complicated.
It is complicated for everybody, especially most families nowadays have both parents working, and so you got to figure out vacation days.
Covering your kids when they're not in school.
But now we have basically three families involved, three sets of parents having jobs and schedules and kids and...
And also grandparents.
Yeah.
That want to make sure that they get time with the kids too, so... Mm-hmm. Oy. This is when mom should get hazard pay.
Oh, yeah.
Trying to negotiate this kind of stuff because we actually are coming up against a new thing this summer, too. Because M is going to be 17.
Right.
In 2 weeks.
Yeah.
So, you know, in talking to his dad said he understood. He's 17 now. He's going to be a senior next year. He understands if he doesn't want to spend, because what we normally have is during the summer, my boys spend 2/3 of the summer with their dad and then 1/3 with us. That way, since he lives in another state, that he gets them more than half the summer because they need that extra time with him. And that's how it's been for years. So because M is going to be a senior next year and wants to get a job and stuff, his dad was really cool saying, I understand he doesn't want to stay the whole 2/3 thing. So he can just stay, you know, a couple of weeks and then head back if he wants, or he can stay longer. And M opted to come back after, I think it's, he's going to be gone 3 weeks and then have the rest of the summer here.
Gotcha.
So we've got that new thing of, okay, he's fine, he's happy, but that kind of changes our dynamic for the summer and what we were going to do and how we were going to handle things.
Yeah.
And on top of that, LT is going to be with his dad's family. Without M for the first time.
Right.
He's never been out there without M. M's been out there because he lived with him.
Mm-hmm.
But LT's never been there without M there, so I'm curious to see how he's going to handle it.
Yeah.
He's being kind of quiet about it. I know he's thrilled to go. He loves his dad, and he loves all of his siblings and everybody, but I'm sensing a sort of hesitancy from him because this is just brand new for him.
Sure.
But I think once he'll get there, he'll be fine. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah. Very well.
So, we've got two different schedules.
And plus, they're starting there together. It's not like he's just going cold. And...
Right. He's going to have 3 weeks with his grandma there. Mm-hmm. And his grandpa will be there part of the time. And then they'll all come back. And LT will be there. And he's still going to have a blast. And we haven't even figured out yet going to see Jay yet.
Yeah.
So we got to figure that out. And that's a whole nother layer of complexity because that involves airline tickets and rental cars and all that kind of stuff. So, so yeah, that's our fun. And
yeah. And Jay's mom's usually really flexible. They've been, you know, whenever I schedule these kind of things, they're usually pretty open. So
totally.
I don't anticipate there really be any problems there, but
no, it's just us figuring it out.
Right, the airfare and time, you know, work time and all of that. It's difficult.
Yeah,
and the work time's been hard because you know I missed a week and a half, a whole bunch of work being sick, and we've got the con stuff that we're doing, which really isn't actually. I'm only missing a day of work for that, so it's not a big deal.
That's not impacting that at all, I don't think. So, it'll be cool, and it'll be wonderful to see him again.
Yeah. Just coast-to-coast travel's always...
Very expensive,
and...
Unfortunately, it may just be you going this time.
A bit to set up.
Yeah, big time. So, yeah, we're basically just carrying around calendars that... Ready to coordinate things at a moment's notice because M's birthday is coming up too. He'll turn 17, so we've got to get him, you know, birthday party with us, birthday party, and by us, I mean family party, and then birthday party for his friends. Now, birthday event with his girlfriend since they got back together. and then getting him out to visit his grandparents, his dad's side of the family, right, for his birthday. So that's four different birthday things trying to coordinate, and it's giving me a headache. Because as soon as we settle something, he goes, oh, I want to change it to that, and I just want to wring his little neck.
Right.
I told him today he wasn't going to make it to 17, and it's only like 2 weeks away. If he keeps messing with me, he ain't going to make it.
Yeah.
So it's very complex. Does anybody else have any stories? Anybody out there? I'm talking to you. Just curious if anybody else has any kind of fun trying to schedule this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
How, if we're just really bad at it and uncoordinated and unorganized, or if it's kind of complicated for everybody trying to, because you almost want to get everybody on a conference call and say, okay, what weekend works for you? You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
But it's just not a good idea.
Yeah, that'd be a very work like that.
For us, it would be a very stressful conversation. For everybody else, it'd probably be fine. But I would know I would be clinched very tight the entire conversation. So, yeah. If anybody has any tips on how to handle this kind of stuff, just throw them our way.
Yeah.
We could use some help.
Shame in.
So what level of the wonder does that usually throw us into, hon?
It's got to be at least puree.
Agreed. And a messy one at that. It's cool, though. It always works out. We always get all the details worked out. It's just stressful trying to coordinate it. Oh, because, of course, my sister also has a concert that she wants to take Em to.
Oh, yeah.
Within 1 or 2 days of the grandparents bringing Em home. So it's right. Like, oh, great. So now I get to have my butt clenched the whole time while they're driving back here from out of state. Mm-hmm. Hopefully they'll make it in time. So there's just too much.
Plus, we're going to go to the Virgin Festival.
Oh, that's going to be awesome. That's going to be so cool. Virgin Music Festival in Maryland. Who's there, babe?
Nine Inch Nails.
That's the only one you remember.
Fighters.
Oh, cool. You remember. I figured the only one you'd remember would be Nine Inch Nails.
Yeah. Well, they're the most important part of the
to
event.
You,
but
Foo Fighters to me. Foo on you. Yeah, but it's going to be awesome. It's Foo Fighters, Nine Inch Nails. Ha ha, I said Foo Fighters first. Stone Temple Pilots reunion tour, assuming
if Scott
Weiland
makes it.
Scott Weiland's in jail right now. We're really hoping they let him out in time for the concert in August. And just lots of cool
And then
cats.
He doesn't party too hard when he gets out.
Right. Paramore. Oh, man, I can't. I don't know. There's a bunch of bands that the kids are excited about.
It's a normal festival thing. So, yeah, just
2 days of
dozens
music.
Of bands.
Yeah. Yeah. And a bunch of crusty hippies camping out. We got a hotel room. We're taking our two boys, oldest nephew, and mm-hmm. now possibly oldest niece.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be a crowded, funky hotel room.
Yeah.
I told her she may have to sleep in the bathtub. She's like, I don't care. And I said, it'll be okay. We'll pull a curtain, the shower curtain closed when we need to use the bathroom. She was not real thrilled with that thought, but you know, it's a free room.
There you go.
So it'll be fun.
Just something else to schedule around.
Sean. Yeah, it's another thing to schedule around, but we've already got it worked out with the boy's dad. LT will be back about a week before that starts, so we'll be cool. I was really disappointed that we're not going to be able to take our younger nephew, mm-hmm. because it's the two nephews that are best friends with M and LT, mm-hmm. and the younger nephew, who I'm going to call him RD.
Oogie.
RD has been diagnosed with Crohn's disease.
Yeah.
And he is having a really, really, really hard time. He's 11, almost 12. He'll turn 12 soon.
Mm-hmm.
But he's been sick, diagnosed since October,
mm-hmm.
and has been in treatment and is just having a really hard time. It's really impacting his health. Poor guy is really getting hit hard with it.
Yeah.
And so we're looking at surgery possibly sometime soon for him to kind of alleviate some of his pain. And it's amazing to me how your view on things can change so quickly, because like last summer he started losing weight. He was a little bit overweight, not like massive overweight or anything,
yeah.
but he was a little overweight and he started losing weight. And we were all saying, RD, you look awesome. Oh,
yeah.
You look so good. And you're cutting back on junk food and getting more exercise. You look great. Well, we come to find out that he was malnourished. His body wasn't processing the food he was taking in. So he was basically starving to death. But he was eating, and we didn't know it.
Yep.
So instead of thinking, oh, he's getting healthier, we find out now that his body was starving this whole time and getting weaker and weaker and weaker. Now with the treatment, he was on steroids for, I don't know, more months than I can even add up to try and get his body stronger and to get things processing and this other medication. And it's not working so far.
Yeah.
So we're in the midst now of the parents, my brother and his wife, and the doctors are talking, trying to figure out whether to let him continue the medical treatments or to have surgery. And it's just really scary because it's just a horrible disease because it affects you physically, obviously. It affects you emotionally on a lot of different levels One of the things that they do for Crohn's is after a certain point, you have to have a portion usually, I'm not going to say every time, but frequently you have to have portions of your colon removed because the tissue gets diseased and scarred and stuff like that. So you're at risk over the years, eventually, of having what they call shortening of the colon and ending up on a colostomy bag of some sort. And that's just not anything that any of us can picture that 11-year-old ever having to go through.
Yeah.
It's horrible, regardless how old you are. But to see an 11-year-old that can't go outside and play, can't run around, can't even do a full school day. He's in, I don't even think it's half days at this point. And he's missed a bunch of school because he's so fatigued from the disease.
Mm-hmm.
And this is the baby. I said this is a baby because I'm picturing him like when he was a little baby. You know, it's hard for me to see him and not think of him as little RD, you know, little baby. Mm-hmm. But he's 11, almost 12. But that's how I think of him, especially when I think about how he's so sick.
Right.
So that's something that we had him out this weekend because he hasn't been here in a while. He's been too sick to come over, having a lot of pain and stuff. And we're all nervous when he's in pain about him going anywhere away from his mom and from his dad because he relies on them so much. But he was feeling a little better, no pain. So we had him over this weekend and I think he had a really good time.
Yeah, he did really well.
Yeah, he didn't have any pain while he was here.
Yeah.
He had
up half the night playing the Wii and playing on the computers and watching TV.
I'm sure he went home and took a nap because I think LT probably wore him down. But they didn't do anything excessively physical. LT knows better than that. They just were playing video games and hanging out and having a good time.
Yeah.
It's really cool to see them play together because it's been a good month or two since he's been out.
Yeah.
So we're just hoping that anybody out there, if you know anything about Crohn's and young guys and little guys or anybody else, if you've experienced Crohn's, I'm really curious to hear what you have to say about it. He's got a great support system. He's adored by his family and friends and the schools rallying behind them. He's not going to get any kind of negative impact or anything. He's doing the work. They've got a special schedule for him and special assignments for him so that he's still learning everything he needs to in order to progress and go on to seventh grade next year. So he's definitely got the support system. And it's just really hard still to see him go through this and the changes that he's going through because of all the medications he's on.
Yeah.
Poor little guy now. I don't know if he is or not because I think a lot of it's water. He looks bigger than he was before he lost all that weight.
Mm-hmm.
And I just, in my mind, I think, how must that make him feel? Because he was having everybody, oh, you look so great. Oh, I'm so glad you're getting healthy. Which was the irony because he wasn't. He was, malnourished.
Right.
And now he's putting on weight and it's just like, emotionally, how does that affect you? He already is isolated away from kids a lot of the time and mostly with family and other grown-ups that are helping to take care of him. And it's just, this isn't how middle school's supposed to be. He's supposed to be jumping in and experiencing new things and that little bit of freedom more than you got in elementary school. And it's just hard to see him go through it.
Oh yeah.
So if anybody has anything like that, and it doesn't even have to be Crohn's, if it's any other kind of an illness and you know somebody going through it, how do you, at that age, kind of help their development? Because he's prepubescent, he's going to be having, sexual identity and confidence and all of that kind of stuff impacted by all this. If anybody has any thoughts or experiences with that, I'd love to hear it. So that's RD. He's brave as hell, and he's ready to do whatever the doctors tell him to do to get better. Because he's sick of being sick. He's sick of being stuck inside and not being able to do things with his friends.
Mm-hmm.
He's bored as hell. So bored. Even with people giving him new video games and computer games and stuff like that, stuff that he can easily do without fatiguing himself, he's bored. So we're trying to keep him entertained. And but we love you, RD. Whether you hear this or not, we love you. And we're so proud of you. You're made of awesome.
So that catches us up.
Yeah, that's our life.
Getting ready. Heading into a hectic week to prepare for Bolticon. Craziness going on at work for me.
Mm.
I'm on one big project that has a due date Thursday.
Oh, gosh.
And there was a recent court ruling that affects us at work, and we're going to go through a major change starting Monday that's going to... It's going to be a lot of work for the IT department, which I'm a part of. So
I feel for you, babe.
It's going to be an interesting week.
Yeah. I am prepared to fake a hemorrhage to get you off work on Friday so that we can go to Balticon like we plan. So I'm there for you, honey. I will just burst into excessive bleeding I'll in their parking lot if I have to. With the car packed and ready to go to Balticon.
Right.
Yes.
There's a specialist in Baltimore. We got to get their stat.
We're going to Hopkins. Get out of our way. Yeah. And we're rooming with T. Morris.
Yeah, that's right.
So we're bringing it all back around to T, as it should be.
So we're looking forward to that.
Oh, yeah. So if you did have any guidance for us simple folks on how to easily navigate scheduling summer stuff with the kids and the different families... Or if you have any information on Crohn's disease or tweens with illnesses, any kind of experience or stories that you want to share on that, give us a call at
413-669-4720. Or you can send an email to intotheblender@gmail.com or leave a comment on the website at intotheblender.com.
So next time we'll be talking about Balticon.
Yes.
And the fun that we are going to be having getting ready for M's birthday.
Oh, yeah. That's our next milestone.
Right. Shoot me.
Coming quick.
Shoot
right
me.
On the heels.
I feel so old. I think I just dyed my gray roots yesterday. So we'll talk to you later, guys.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Bye bye. Just sit back and indulge me for a minute. You light the suns in all my worlds. All my worlds. It's hard time you believe. Thanks for listening to Into the Blender.
You can find information, comment on episodes, and subscribe to the podcast at intotheblender.com.
You can send us email to feedback@intotheblender.com.
This podcast is released under a Creative Commons, non-commercial, no derivatives 3.0 license.
You are free to make copies and share this podcast to your heart's content.
Just not modify or make money from it.
Rachel.
Sally.